So Parshas Chukas has in it, unfortunately, a very familiar theme, and that is Klal Yisrael in the Midbar complaining about something else. But this is a repetition of what they complained about before. The Pasuk says, Vayisu mehor derech hayam suf lisvay v'seh asadayim batik sar nefesh ha'om bat derech. They complained to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Lisonu Mitzrayim Lomos Bamidbar, why take us out to die in the desert? Kein lechem v'in mayim v'nafshenu kotza, b'lechem ha'kleikel. They're complaining about the mun. As I mentioned, this is not the first time they complained about the mun. They complained about the mun in Parshas Baalayscha. But what's important to remember, which we don't always realize, is that between Parshas Baalayscha and Parshas Chukas, we're talking a span of about 38 years. The first Parshias of Sefer Bamidbar, Mimbar, Nasai, Baalayscha, Shlach, Kairach, are all in the first couple of years of being in the Midbar after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now they are holding 38 years later on the Gvul of Eretz Yisrael. And they're complaining about the mun, which they complained about almost 40 years before. Why then and why now? So as an aside, I think it's important to realize that the commonality and common denominator between these two periods is that Klal Yisrael is going through transitions. They were going transition in Parshas Baalayscha, the beginning of the Midbar, from being slaves, avodim, to being B'nai Chayrin. It's a transition. It's not an easy transition. It's a whole different lifestyle. It's a whole different reality. Here again, at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, on the threshold of Eretz Yisrael, they're also going through a transition. They're going through the transition of being in the Midbar and having every one of their needs taken care of, and now they're going to go in Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to have to make a living, have to live a regular life. I think part of the lesson, which is not the main theme of what I want to speak about today, is transitions are difficult. When people are in the stage of transition and things aren't the way they were and it's a new life, they get somewhat discombobulated. They're worried, they're on edge, and this and that. And when people are like that, they tend to complain. So that's why they complained about the mun there and the mun here, because we're going through a new reality. But the main question is, why complain about the mun? I mean, the mun is the greatest thing going. I mean, it was there every day. You didn't have to prepare it. Well, you had to prepare it, but it tasted whatever you wanted life tastes like. There was no side effects. There was no human bodily waste. There's no cholesterol. You know, I always say, if you complain about the mun, you can complain about anything. But why did they complain? And the other major question is, over here in our parsha, the Breslin punishes them for their complaining with snakes. Snakes are attacked them, killed, bit the people, some people died, etc., etc. Now, throughout Sefer Bamidbar, when the Baruch Shalom was angry with them, there were different ways in which they died. Sometimes it was Esh Ben HaShamayim, sometimes it was a Magefa, sometimes it was the earth opened up. This is the first time that the Baruch Shalom punishes them with snakes, what seems a rather odd type of Misa. Why snakes? So I want to offer two thoughts behind this, which really address the same issue. And that is, I think you see from the following Chazal what the issue with the mun was. The Gemara says in Masechet Yuma on Ayin Vav and Aleph, Shal Talmidus Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Mimnei Malo Yard Mun Yisrael Pam Achas Bashana. Why didn't the mun come down once a year? Omer lahem em shel chol moshel. Lama adavar dayin lamel basim adam she'in she'yesh le'ben echad. A king has one sole son. He goes ahead and gives an allotment for his expenses, his mazin, once a year. The son only got in touch with him once a year when he needed a new stipend. So the king said, no, that's not the way to do it. I want to have an ongoing relationship with my son. And therefore what? And there he said, no, you're going to get every single day, you're going to get your allotment. Af Yisrael, says the Medrash. I have four or five kids. What am I going to feed them? I hope Mon will come tomorrow. It came yesterday, came the day before. The point that the Midrash is trying to make over here is that it is much healthier and it's a much more profound and deep relationship when a person has a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam on a daily basis and not just once a year. That you know that you're dependent on the Ribbono Shel Olam, and if he doesn't provide that mon that morning, you may die. But I think that people prefer that. I don't want to know that I'm absolutely dependent on something or some being. And I want my independence. And therefore, what was wrong with the mon is not that it didn't taste good. What was wrong with the mon in their eyes is that they're too dependent. And we want independence. Here we are on the verge of the 4th of July. We want independence. People want independence. That was their problem. You know, I remember when I first came to the yeshiva many years ago. So there were no credit cards those days. There certainly wasn't Zelle. The word Zelle wasn't invented. Nobody had a phone. So every week, like clockwork, my father would send me a $5 check to buy toothpaste, to buy something for the canteen, to buy a soda, $5 a week, like clockwork. Today, what does a father do when his kid goes out to yeshiva? He gives him a credit card and says, Sei mir geschen stark, and the kid says, yeah, when I reach the limit, then maybe you'll hear from the kid. My father's method was a much better method, and so was the Ribbono Shel Olam's. And that, I think, is an issue at hand over here, and that is why the Medrash says, the Medrash about the father, the son, the king, and the son. So that perhaps explains what the problem with mon is, which is, should be no problem with mon, but why death by snakes? So Rishon Shlomo Hirsch, in his Parash Al HaTorah, goes ahead and suggests a very interesting thing. The pasuk, the lashon of the pasuk over here by us is when the Ribbono Shel Olam finally punishes them, the lashon of the pasuk is, where is this? Vayishalach Hashem bohem ba'avabam eis hanechashim hasarafim. Vayishalach. You could have said vayishlach. He sent. What's vayishalach? So Shamashal Fol Hirsch, Kedarka Bakaydash, says that there's a different connotation between Vayishlach and Vayishalach. One is Lashon Kal, one is Lashon Peel. Rav Shamshal Falher says, and I'm not one to argue with him, that Vayishlach means he sent. Vayishalach means he let them loose and they came on their own. It's like they were behind the gates, and therefore they couldn't come, they couldn't attack. Vayishalach, he removed that barrier, and therefore they came. Rosh Hashanah Hurst brings a riot to several places in Chumash where you see this chilek between Lashon Kal and Lashon Piel and the Lashon of Shiluach. The Pasuk says in Parashas Miketz, Vekel Shaddai Yitain Lecha Rachamim Lifnei Ha'ish V'shid Lach Lahem Es Achichem Acher Ves Ben Yamin. This is by when Shimon is captured as a ransom, as a hostage. So the Pasuk says, Yankei Avinu gives them a bracha. He should go back, Kel Shachai Yitain L'Racham Lefnei Ha'ish V'shid Lach Lahem Es Achichem. Not v'sholach. V'sholach when he would send. V'shilach, says Rosh Hashanah Fulhurst, is the condemnation. He would let him go and he would come on his own. So, what happened over here with the Nechashim? V'yishalach, which means he was holding them back and all of a sudden they were free to attack. What Rosh Hashanah Fulhurst is saying over here is, you don't want to have a relationship with me, Rabbi Yisai? You don't want to be dependent on me? You want to go ahead and have independence? You want to have your own food? Not none? Guess what? I'll take away. I'll let you be independent. I'll take my protection over you, my constant protection. And guess what? The snakes and serpents came out of the woodwork. Shem Shal first has another beautiful diak. The pasuk says, "Vayishalach b'hem es hanechashim hasirafim, hanechashim." Hey, idea, the snakes, the serafim. What snakes? Well, they're snakes. No. These are these snakes. These are the snakes that were surrounded you the entire time in the midbar. Those snakes. You know what happened when I remove my protection? You get bitten and you get killed. And therefore, they learned the lesson of how we need the Ribbono Shel Olam on a daily basis. Al chayinu amsur b'yodecha l'shrosenu b'chol yom v'nosasha b'chol yom erver. It's constant. And we need it constantly. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam removes his protection, Chas v'Shalom, who knows what can happen. That's why they complain about the man, and that's why over here, the trufa, the antidote, was the Nechashim. A similar theme, different vort, but a similar theme, is that they did not want this dependency on the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I once heard in the name of Rabbi Avraham Buxban, heard this from my son, you know, we know that it's not the first, this is not the first snake in the Torah. We know what the first snake was. When the Ribbono Shel Olam went ahead and cursed the snake for enticing and seducing Adam and Chava, so he cursed the snake. And what was the curse? Va'ofar teichal kol yemei chayecha, you'll eat the dirt of the earth. That's going to be your panas. That's going to be your food. Hey, that's a great deal. Because you never run out of ofar. So why is that a curse? It's a bracha. So the Sfasemis says that the reason it's a curse is because you don't have to come on to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the biggest curse. You have no relationship. You don't feel a kesher. That's even a curse for a snake. Kal v'chomer for a human being. Kal v'chomer ben shmonei shel kal v'chomer to a yid. And that was the reason the Prussian promised them with snakes. Gedenk the snake. Remember the snake. Why was the snake cursed? And what's his curse? His curse is, you're on your own. You don't need me. That's why the punishment fits the crime. The crime was, we don't want to be dependent on you. The punishment is, think about the snake. And therefore, go ahead and take that snake, Moshe Rabbeinu, and put it on a staff way up so that they'll be able, that they have to look at the snake to be cured. And they're looking up. That is the answer. Look up at the Ribbono Shel Olam. And know that we can't exist without him. And that we're constantly dependent on him. You know, last Friday morning after my shiur, last Thursday night, a woman who was originally a Baltimorean, she listens to my shiur in Eretz Yisrael, and she sent me an email. She told me the following story. She lives in a neighborhood which is frequented by Kailul Yungalite, and there is an Israeli IDF facility there, and therefore there are soldiers and officers there all the time. So this Kailul Yungalite is standing in line, checking out, and his basket is overflowing with food. She said easily 1,500 shekel for that order. The officer behind the younger man says to the younger man, says, I want to pay for your groceries. The guy looks at him, why do you want to do that? He says, I came back recently from Ukraine, and I was in charge of setting up their Iron Dome defense for the Russian projectiles and drones, etc., etc. They came back to Eretz Yisrael and they told me that it's only about 50% successful rate of knocking them down, shooting them down. In Eretz Yisrael, it's 95%. So they wanted to know, what did we do wrong? Maybe they didn't set it up right. So I went back to Ukraine and I checked it out. The equipment is correct, set up correct, technology is working. So why here, there 50% and us 90%, 95%? This non-religious IDF officer tells the Ingerman, it must be because the Torah is learned and the mitzvahs are performed. That's why we get 95%. Because we have God's help. And you're responsible for that. Because you sit and learn. Therefore, I want to pay for your groceries. Because when you have the Yad Hashem, when you have the protection of the Ribbono Shel Olam, then everything is possible. And when you don't, everything is also possible. Good Shabbos.